World Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedian, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hoffa, our guest, Anthony Polamani, Major Bowles Amateur of the Month, the Martins and Al Goodman's Orchestra. It's Texaco time.
Ladies and gentlemen, 1941 may come and 1940 may go, but we bring you a man who just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And here he is, ready to go on and on, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me, Mr. Wallington, but since we are starting what in some circles is called a new year, don't you think you might have opened the program with a little enthusiasm?
I should get steamed up about the new year after the shortchanging I got on this program in 1940.
You mean this program owes you something from the old year?
Yes, Mr. Allen. Three lines. Three very funny lines of mine were deliberately eliminated in 1940.
Why should three lines of yours be cut out of the script?
Because I'm a little too funny for your own comfort, Alan.
Oh, brother! And I do not hail you as a relative. Now, look, last week, J.W., you weren't going to say another word. You recall that?
Yes.
That's quite a long-distance memory feat for you. Now, you weren't going to say another word. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
Now, are you mad enough to make that same gesture tonight?
No. Tonight I'll talk.
Tonight you'll talk.
But I won't be amusing.
You won't be amusing.
No.
Can we depend on that?
Well, yes.
Jimmy, you... I mean, you're not going to change your stride. Jimmy, you are as funny as a slow leak in an oxygen tent.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll bet you're still afraid to put my three lines to the test.
Well, who's afraid? Have you got them with you?
Right here.
All right. Now, what lines of yours were maliciously deleted?
On October the 9th, 1940, I didn't say...
What?
Hello, Fred. I'm having trouble finding a wife. All the women I meet are single.
Well, that's one. Now, wait a minute. Not with your eyes. None of that. No mugging or anything. You just read the lines that were cut out on you here.
On November the 6th...
None of that Grimaldi stuff, you know, when we're not... All right, now that's one.
On November the 6th, this was cut.
Yes?
Hello, Fred. I just lost my wristwatch. On you, it looks good.
That's two.
On December 18th, 1940, this line was purposely deleted.
Which one?
Hello, Fred. Do you need many men to start a tug of war? Nope. Only takes a couple of jerks.
Have you finished?
Yes.
Now do you know why those three lines were cut out? Well, that balances our account. That balances our account as far as I'm concerned. And we turn... to the news, I ought to put
O-F-A.
Yes, Kenny.
Were you about to say something?
Yes, I said I was about to install a treadmill in here to get the actors coming by on time. I could talk to them. But
Well, look, as long as you straighten out your books for 1940...
Kenny, now don't tell me the program owes you lines from the last year, too.
No, F.A., according to my books, I owe the program.
You owe the program?
Yeah. Lines? On December 11th, I stumbled over a line and had to repeat four words of it. I'm four words over.
Well, so?
So I'm unbalanced. Balance me, buddy.
Well, now, wait a minute, Kenny. Now, here's a line of yours coming up in the script that just happens to be four words long. It's an answer to a question of mine.
Yes?
Now, I'll ask you this question, and then you don't answer. You see, and that'll square us.
Okay. Let me have it.
All right. Here goes. Was your concert in Walla Walla a big success the past semester? Great. That makes us even, Kenny. And so is Kenny and our books balanced. We turn to the latest news of the week. That's semester instead of semester, isn't it? Well, I ought to have a tutor here in case words slip out. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. Tonight, January 1st, 1941, the Texaco News bears its editorial head in tribute to the year 1940, which departed this life at midnight. Newspapers, newsreels, and other radio programs have brought you the highlights of 1940. The Texaco News gives you the lowlights. Tonight, we parade before you a frowsy group of stagnant nobodies whose unimportant didos during the past year can only be classed as stumbles in the march of time. The first lowlight award for non-essential activity in radio goes to Mr. Dietmar Wink. What was your contribution to radio, Dietmar?
I broke the 1940 record for sending in box tops.
Well, congratulations.
Yes, sir, I sent in over 30,000 box tops.
Why?
It was that stumbo contest.
What is stumbo?
It's some powder that fizzes. It oxidizes your stomach.
Well, I've heard of alkalizing, but...
Well, this is oxidizing. It gives your stomach fresh air.
Is that necessary?
Oh, sure. Your stomach is in there hanging in the dark. It can't get no fresh air. Stumbo takes care of that condition.
Oh, I see. And what was this Stumbo contest?
If you sent in 30,000 Stumbo box tops, they sent you a neon hall tree.
A neon hall tree?
Yeah, it keeps you from tripping over it in the dark.
Say, it must be beautiful lit up.
Oh, it looks like the skeleton of a pear tree on fire.
Well, tell me, how did you ever collect the 30,000 Stumbo box tops?
Oh, I was taking Stumbo every 10 minutes, 24 hours a day.
Well, has it improved the condition of your stomach?
How should I know?
Well, it's your stomach.
Not no more, it ain't.
Well, how come?
They got it in a bottle at the Mayo Clinic.
Well, thank you very much. Give it my regards as you pass through Minnesota, Mr. Dietmar Wink. A low-light award for work in the field of science goes to Professor Phoenix Trad. What was your scientific accomplishment, Professor Trad?
I astounded science by splitting the atom.
You split the atom? How did you do it, Professor?
Well, it was an accident, really.
What happened?
Well, I was in my laboratory.
Yes?
I had the atom in my hand. I was fooling around with it.
Yes?
I happened to drop the atom.
And?
The darn thing split.
Which is more than the audience did, Professor.
Fame is just an accident, don't you think?
Well, I will never know, to be frank with you. But thank you for inquiring, Professor Phoenix Trad. A low-life award for achieving fame in New York Cafe Society goes to Colonel Magnus Creep. How old are you, Colonel, old boy?
Yes, I'm 82.
And Cafe Society cited you?
Yeah, I got the loving cup right here.
Oh, at 82, you won this loving cup in a contest. Well, how did it happen?
Well, sir, I was sitting around a night spot down the village one night looking at the floor show and wishing.
Wishing what?
Wishing I was 40 years younger.
I see.
Couples were jitterbugging, the band was jiving. Waiter tells me I'm wanted on the phone.
And?
I cut through the couples to get to the phone.
Yes?
Right in the middle of the dance floor, I throw a fit.
Yeah?
My legs fly up. I get two strokes and a chill. I'm shaking and jumping. First thing I know, I'm in the chandelier.
Did they send for a doctor?
No. They pulled me down from the chandelier and presented me with this loving cup. It's engraved,
Well, what does that inscription say, Colonel?
That's a, to the oldest jitterbug to jit in 1940.
Thank you, and congratulations, Colonel Magnus Creek.
Want to see me, Charleston?
No, no, we haven't got a number old enough to go with that. We've only got one-day-old things here. The woman who had the most trouble in 1940 was Miss Dora Dreen. What misfortune befell you, Miss Dreen?
It's just been one calamity after another all year.
Oh, you poor thing. What happened?
Well, first I was hit by a bus.
Oh.
I had 8 operations.
Mm.
Then my mother set herself on fire.
Oh.
The next day, a loan shark put my father in jail.
Mm.
And next, the fellow I was going to marry was shot coming up the aisle by a traveling salesman.
Oh.
Yesterday, the oil stove exploded and killed Grandma and Grandpa.
Oh, you...
Tomorrow, I'm going to be run over by a taxicab.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Please, Dora. Now, you've had a lot of trouble, that I will admit. How do you know the trouble you're going to have?
I'm in radio. I work on all of them daytime serial shows.
Oh, you'll have plenty of trouble, and condolences on your unhappy new year to come. The outstanding 1940 musical faux pas, recorded at Carnegie Hall, was committed by Herman Lix, Jr. You are a member of the symphony orchestra, Herman.
Yeah, I've been playing with Solid Sam and his Seven Senders. It's a swing-capation combo.
Yeah, well, how did you get into Carnegie Hall?
I filled in for a guy, a cornet job.
Well, tell me, I hope you'll speak frankly. Did you find the symphony music difficult for you?
Nah. First number is accompanying some opera tenor. I'm toyed cornet. Only got 2 notes to play.
All through the tenor solo?
All through the solo, I'm playing the same 2 notes.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I'll show you. I got my horn right here.
Oh, that's fortunate. Fine.
Yeah. In this guy's solo, the orchestra goes, la da 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 da.
Yes?
Then the third cornet plays.
This goes on all night?
By the hour. The orchestra goes, la da 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 da, and I play.
Well, isn't, it must be monotonous.
For the third cornet, brother, it's murder. Yeah, that's what caused me trouble.
What trouble?
For about an hour, it's the same thing. La da 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 da.
Well, what happened at the end of the hour?
Well, I must have dozed off. I dream I'm back playing with Solid Sam.
Yes?
Yeah. Me cue came, la da 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 da.
And what did you play? What happened in Carnegie Hall?
Oh, you should have seen it. The tenor fainted. 2 dowagers started a conga in the aisles. It was pandemonium.
Are you still playing?
Yeah, I'm playing tonight.
You're playing third cornet at Carnegie Hall?
No, I'm playing pinochle in the Union Club room.
Well, thank you, Herman Lick. And now, for his first song of 1941, Kenny Baker has consulted his Gilbert and Sullivan portfolio, and from the Mikado, Kenny sings A Wandering Minstrel Eye.
Patches of ballad songs and snatches and dreamy lullabies. My catalogue is long through every passion ranging, and to your humors changing, I tune my supple song. I tune my song. Do you brew? willing ears with songs of lovers' fear. While sympathetic tears my cheeks bedew. Sentiment is one said. My patriotic ballads cut and dry. For where'er a country's banner may be planted, all other local banners are defied. Our warriors in serried ranks assemble. Never quail are they conceited if they do. And I shouldn't be surprised if nations tremble before the mighty troops that troop of Titipoo. Song of the sea, we'll hear the captain roar. With the yo-he ho for the wind is free. Her rank is a trip and a helm's a lee. Her broth is a homeward bound. To lay aloft in a howling breeze may tickle a landsman's taste. But the happiest star our sailor sees is when he's down at an inland town. With his Anansi on his knees. Yo-ho! Of ballad songs and snatches and dreamy lullaby and dreamy lullaby.
Nice, Henry. You take your black off and sit down. And now a low-light award we overlooked in the in the Texaco News. It goes to the worst poetess of 1940, Elizabeth Barrett Sagging. What sort of verse do you create, Miss Sagging?
Automobile epics, mostly.
Really?
I'm known as the puncture-proof poetess. The work I'm reading tonight is called A Fool There Was.
Well, that sounds like Kipling.
Purely coincidence. I've never kippled.
Oh. You're not the outdoor type, obviously. Well, let us hear your poem.
A fool there was, and he had a car, even as yours and mine. He loved its ignition, its shatterproof glass. But what was this car that he thought had such class? Just gears and a seat and a gallon of gas. Even as yours and mine.
Well, thank you very much.
Just gears and a seat and a gallon
well,
of gas. Even as yours
well,
and mine.
Excuse me, madam. We get the idea. It has seeped through. A car is just gears and a seat and a gallon of gas.
Yes, Fred, we get the idea, but it's a mistaken idea. There's more to a car than that.
Can you prove it, Larry?
Yes, indeed, Fred. Because there is more to a car than meets the eye. More to it than its streamlined body, its big, powerful-looking motor. In fact, it's often the little things you can't see that make a difference. Like the way a car responds, the feel of it on the highways, on the hills, and in traffic. And here's where the flexible power of Sky Chief, Texaco's different premium gasoline, can give your driving a lift, add a new thrill. You'll find it a luxury to step into your car and enjoy Sky Chief power sweeping you over the hills or getting you through traffic. But when you check the mileage, you'll agree Sky Chief is one driving luxury you can afford. Try Sky Chief at your Texaco dealer at the usual premium price.
Characters in search of a downbeat have just played Frenesee. And now, ladies and gentlemen, again with the door. Well, that's radio today, I guess. It's either a quiz or it's somebody knocking on a door. I've got a good mind not to say to come in. He'll be out there for 4 days at Afra rates. It'll be $200 and something. Well, come in.
Excuse me, how can I get out of here?
You can get out through that door you just came in.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
It's that new 6th Avenue subway. People are coming up in buildings all over New York. They don't know how to get in or out of it. I heard about a man in the Radio City Music Hall. He went down to the smoking room, stepped through a door. The next thing he knew, it was Queens Plaza. But he made friends there and settled down and is very happy the last 3 months. One of those trees... One of those trees, you know, the trees growing out on 6th Avenue started dying during the past week, and the mayor put on his sandhog hat and went down through the grating to see what the trouble was. And the mayor found that the tree's roots were gone. The roots had gotten on a 6th Avenue local and were growing downtown. On speculation. But, oh, hello, Portland.
Hello.
Well, well, well. Well, you certainly look nice and chipper to start 1941.
Yes, I guess nearly everybody is under the weather after celebrating last night.
Oh, do you know, there are so many people at home with big heads around the country today that they changed the whole radio schedule.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, instead of Bulova going on the air every half hour, Alka-Seltzer has been broadcasting every 15 minutes.
Well, I've got to go.
What is your rehearsed rush? What
well,
is that?
I'm taking Mama down to the doctor again.
The doctor? The vet? What's the matter? What's the matter with your mother?
It's her bookends.
Her bookends? What sort of a malady is that?
The bookends started all of Mama's trouble.
Well, what bookends?
The ones you gave her for Christmas.
Oh.
We've been going to the doctors ever since.
Well, I am clinic-minded, and frankly, I don't get it.
Well, when you gave Mama the bookends,
yeah,
she didn't have anything to put between them, so she had to buy a book.
So?
So, as long as Mama had the book, she thought she'd read it.
So?
So, she found out her eyes were bad,
oh,
and Mama had to get glasses.
So?
So, Mama put on her glasses and tried to read the book, but her tongue was dry.
What has a dry tongue got to do with reading?
Mama couldn't wet her thumb to turn over the pages.
So?
So, Mama had to go to another doctor.
And?
He put her on a liquid...
I put the switch in there, you get it? That's how you stay in radio. Keep twisting those conjunctions around. They don't beat you to it.
Well, he put her on a liquid diet. Today, Mama'll know.
Know what?
If her tongue is moist enough to wet her thumb to turn over the pages in her book.
Well, that's good. She may climb out of that moron class yet. Well, all right, and goodbye.
Goodbye? I haven't introduced our guest.
No, I'll take care of that if you don't mind. Now, this evening, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Major Bowes, Amateur of the Month. He is a young man who scored a sensational hit on the Major's program recently, and tonight he makes his professional debut as our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Anthony Polamini. Anthony. Well, good evening, Anthony.
Good evening, Major.
No, that was 2 weeks ago, Anthony, the Major. Don't tell me I'm starting to resemble the Mage.
No, Fred. I'm a little nervous, I guess.
You have nothing to be nervous about, Anthony. I heard you sing on Major Bo's show, and you were swell. The Major and I have high hopes for your future.
I hope you and the Major are right, Fred.
Well, I'm sure when our audience hears you tonight, the opinions will be unanimous. Tell me, Anthony, what is your voice?
I'm a lyric baritone.
And how long have you been working on your singing?
Well, I've been studying almost 6 years.
Major Bo said your recent appearance, as I remember, on his show was your second.
That's right.
The major liked you so well he brought you back?
No, it was just the opposite, Fred.
Well, how do you mean, Anthony?
Well, the first time I went on the major's program 4 years ago, I wasn't so good.
A little bird told you?
No, the major told me.
He did. He came right out with it, huh? Well, what did he say?
The major said I needed a lot more study.
And so you returned to your scales and metronome?
I studied 4 years, and then I went back to the major just to show him.
Well, you certainly did show him, as I remember. Tell me, how old are you, Anthony?
I'm 22.
And your ambition, like most young singers today, is to sing at the Metropolitan?
Yes, Fred, except that I would like to specialize in comic roles like Don Pasquale and Figaro.
Well, are you going to sing an aria from one of these operas?
Yes, Fred. I'd like to repeat the one I did for Major Bowes from The Barber of Seville.
The major liked that one, didn't he?
Oh, yes. The second time, Major Bowes said a lot of nice things.
Well, Major Bowes is a wonderful man, Anthony. Did you know that Major Bowes is not really his right name? Did you ever hear how the major happened to acquire his nom de plume?
No.
Well, I'll tell you. Major Bowes, this is confidential. Don't let this go any farther than a 12 Crosley rating, if you can help it.
No, I won't.
Now, I'll tell you. Major Bowes' real name is Colonel Phineas T. Higginbottom. Now, about 10 years ago, the major, or Colonel Phineas, rather, was traveling through the West selling a termite destroyer for totem poles. Now, he stopped over one night in a small Indian village, and as the colonel was resting on the porch of his trailer in the cool of the evening, two half-breeds came up to him and offered to make some genuine Indian souvenirs for the colonel at a slight fee. Colonel Phineas agreed, and the next morning, while he was having breakfast, two sets of beautifully decorated bows and arrows were delivered to him at the camp. Colonel Phineas went out on the porch of his trailer to dicker and pay off the two Indians who were waiting for their wampum. And the colonel asked the redmen what work each had done. The first Indian said, "Ugh, whittle your arrows." The second Indian said, "Ugh, Major Bowes." Well, sir, a unit was passing. A unit was passing and heard that Indian say Major Bowes to the colonel, and they thought it was his name. Well, word was bruited about, and to this day, Colonel Phineas T. Higginbottom is known as Ugh Major Bowes. What do you think of that, Anthony?
Oh, shall I sing now, Fred?
Yes, Anthony, I think you'd better in self-defense.
Bravo, Figaro, bravo, bravissima, bravo. La 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 la. Fortunatissimo per verità, bravo. La 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 la. Fortunatissimo per verità. Fortunatissimo per verità. La 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 la. Pronto per tutto, non è che il giorno, sempre intorno in giro sta. Miglior compagna per un barbiere, vita più nobile non si dà. La 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 la. Per resso ripetini, lanciati i forbici, al mio comando tutto qui sta. E lanciati i forbici, resso ripetini, al mio comando tutto qui sta. Bella risorsa. Poi del mestiere, con la donnetta, col cavaliere, con la donnetta, la 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 la, col cavaliere, la 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 la. Figaro, 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 Figaro. Ehi, Figaro! Oimè, oimè, che furia, oimè, che folla, una alla volta. Per carità, per carità, per carità, una alla volta, una alla volta, una alla volta, per carità. Figaro. Sono qua. Ehi, Figaro, schon fast, Figaro fast, Figaro la, Figaro qua, Figaro la, Figaro su, Figaro giù, Figaro so, Figaro giù. Von dem Tisch, man sagt, ich bin wieder so, ich bin tot, um deine Città, deine Città, deine Città, deine Città. Ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, a te fortuna, a te fortuna, a te fortuna non mancherà. Ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, ah, bravo Figaro, bravo bravissimo, a te fortuna, a te fortuna, a te fortuna non mancherà. Sono il facotum della città, sono il facotum della città, della città, della città, della
Thank you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you are invited to join the Allen Anti-Worry League. No more furrowed brows, no more gnawed fingernails, no more...
Wait a minute, Fred. Just what is the Allen Anti-Worry League?
Well, just what it says, Jimmy. It's an organization to suppress worry.
But it's natural to worry, Fred.
But it's so useless, Jimmy. Now, after all, worry doesn't pay. It wrinkles your forehead. It ruins your digestion. It shortens your life. So the motto of my league is, why worry?
Say, I think you've got something, Fred. Worry is futile. I'll join the Allen Anti-Worry League.
Well, good for you, Jimmy. Now, look, will you see if you can drum up some more members for me?
I'll do my best. Fine. Ladies and gentlemen, and prospective members of the Allen Anti-Worry League, there are a lot of things in this old world you could worry about, but why worry? For instance, here are two of the 40 things about your car you could worry about. The water pump and the shackle bolt. Are they getting enough lubrication? Is the proper lubricant being used? But why worry when Texaco dealers promise you peace of mind if you just drive in for a Marfac job every 1,000 miles? Marfac, spelled M-A-R-F-A-K, is Texaco's 40-point chassis lubrication service. And remember, Marfac is no ordinary grease, but a lubricant specially made to stick to its job. Yes, when you stop for a Marfac job, Texaco dealers work by chart and not by chance. They check more than 40 different points, and see to it that every vital friction spot in the chassis is protected with that super-tough chassis lubricant, Texaco Marfac. So why worry? Enjoy smooth driving. Next time, try a Texaco dealer. The Texaco Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Conducting an orchestra, a thing like this, a long mastoid splinter you find anyplace. You shake it at a lot of guys who belong at in 802, and the thing goes itself. But that was a small order of sugar pie cut by Fred Allen and his pastry philharmonic. And now, ladies and gentlemen, well, if I conduct it, at least give me the credit. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we turn to the, Kenny, wake up. Kenny.
What?
Wake up. You can't doze off like that in the middle of the program.
Oh, I'm sorry, F.A. I'm all in. I must have dropped off.
What is it about this program that induces slumber?
Oh, it isn't the program, F.A.
Then what is suddenly making you nap happy, Kenny?
I was at a New Year's party last night. Boy, what a party.
Had yourself a time, hey?
Brother, the joint was jumping.
Yeah, building inspector didn't crash in. Well, how long did the party last?
About midnight, we ran out of Coca-Cola, so we broke it up.
Kenny, you weren't out until midnight.
Yep, I must have had 40 cherry Cokes.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, you Liggett Lush.
But it's only one day in the whole year, F.A.
And Wednesday is only one day in the whole week, Kenny. But it happens to be the day that you have to work. Now, you can't come reeling around here after a measly 10 hours sleep with that phosphate on your breath.
Well, gee, I couldn't break up the party. What a mob of playboys.
High flyers, eh?
Scooters were lined up for 2 blocks.
Everybody dressed, of course.
You bet. And boy, was I hot. Top hat, white tie, and mother of pearl yo-yo.
Now, I'd like to... That must have looked well with your white tie. Well, it sounds to me as though this affair was an orgy. Mother of pearl yo-yo, eh? You had the tortoise entrails for string, I imagine. It sounds as though this affair was an orgy.
It sure was. Along about 10 o'clock, a guy from Albany whipped out a handful of corn silk and rolled a cigarette.
Whipped out a handful of corn
yes.
silk? He didn't light it.
He sure did. And then he passed it around and everybody took a puff.
Kenny Baker, you didn't take a puff of that Barnyard Lucky.
No, I was outside watching for cops.
Well, a fine thing. Corn silk, cigarettes, cherry cokes, cops.
I kissed a girl, too.
Kenny!
Does that mean we're engaged?
Well, not the... No, not in this day and age, Kenny. Times have changed. When I was young and kissed a girl, do you know what it meant?
Yeah, somebody was holding her.
Now, just a minute, Kenny. You know, I haven't always looked like this, you know. You know, as a boy, these bags under my eyes used to fit into my jowl.
They didn't hang down like they do today?
Oh, no. This new suspension work on the eyes here. And in those days, I had long, wavy eyelashes, big, bushy eyebrows. Why, looking into my eyes was like peeking into a Fuller Brush Man's sample case. But now, don't change the subject now. You're trying to talk me out of it. I'm finding out about this debauchery of yours. Portland.
Yes, Mr. Allen?
Now, didn't you promise me that you'd keep an eye on Kenny?
Yes, I tried to keep him from going to that party last night, but Kenny has a mind of his own.
Oh, he rented it for the evening? Well, this roistering has got to stop. Now, I'm going to find a way to make Kenny turn over a new leaf.
Well, this is New Year's, Mr. Allen. Kenny should make a resolution.
Hello.
Just a minute, please. Mr. Goodman, who told you to butt in here?
Goodman's finger is moving down the page to where it says, Enter Goodman. I, Goodman, enter. Hello, he says.
What a reading. The Lowell Thomas of the Minsk Odessa Network.
Mr. Goodman, we're all starting the new year off right. Will you join us in a resolution?
Nothing doing. And this I'm saying in all sincerity.
Well, what have you got against... What have you got against resolutions?
You think my family left the old country because there they had daisy chains?
No, look, the word is resolution, not revolution.
Resolution, revolution, as long as you keep running.
Mr. Goodman.
Whom I happen to be.
We know who you are. One more word out of you, Mr. Goodman, and it will be from an ex-employee.
One more word from a certain party, and I, Goodman, become automatically a picket.
What can I do? Our New Year's resolution.
It's pretty hard to keep a resolution.
I've got a resolution I bet I can keep.
What is it, Kenny?
I resolve never to break the traffic laws on the island of Yap.
Where is the island of Yap?
It's in the South Seas. I saw it in a travelogue.
The island of Yap? Well, what kind of a test of willpower is that if you're never going there?
With my agent, do I know where I'm going to sing next?
When visiting the island of Yap in the South Seas, to my brother-in-law, say hello.
What is your brother-in-law doing on a South Sea island?
Say, when they deport you, it ain't a far rockaway.
Oh, that brother-in-law. Say, how is he getting along in the tropics?
Already he's got a Broadway connection.
Doing what?
He's auditioning coconuts for Sloppy Joe's.
We are not getting any place with Kenny's resolution.
Kenny's getting too pessimistic, Mr. Allen. He should make it a resolution to be more happy.
Too late now, Porty. I'm a bitter boy.
And why are you a bitter boy, Kenny Baker? I'll tell you why. Why did you get into all of that trouble with Dennis Day over paying that sightseeing money, the bill there? What is it that causes all of your worries and is making you unhappy?
I give up.
It's money.
Is it?
Kenny, how many times have you told me that the happiest days of your life you spent as an errand boy working for the A&P?
Yes, those were the days. Pushing my little cart along, weaving in and out of traffic, singing merrily.
You see? Now today, you clink when you walk. You have money. You're a clinker. Money has robbed you. Money has robbed you of that happiness, Kenny Baker.
You think so, F.A.?
Well, I know so. And if you want to be happy during 1941, there is only one resolution you should make.
What, F.A.?
Now, you resolve... Listen to an old man, Kenny. You resolve not to take any increase in salary this year.
But that's not up to me, F.A. Suppose you insist on giving me a raise.
Well, I'll cooperate. I won't offer you.
I don't want to put you to any trouble.
No sacrifice is too great, Kenny. After all, your happiness is at stake.
But I'm thinking of your happiness, F.A.
Two schmoozers. Who are they kidding?
Mr. Goodman. Now, look, Kenny. To ensure your happiness in 1941, here is my first New Year's resolution. I resolve not to give you a raise.
And I, Kenneth Baker, resolve that during 1941, I will not take a raise. It says in the script.
A shrewd move, Kenny. Now you can recapture that pixie outlook, a measure of that supreme contentment that was yours as an errand boy for the A&P. And now for your song. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker...
Well, Mr. Allen.
Yes, Kenny.
I don't want to be a pig, but I would like to go even further with that resolution.
Further?
Yes. If I'm going to be as happy as I used to be, I wish you'd take $2 off my present salary.
$2 off your present salary will make you happy as of yore? Why?
Because then I'll be getting exactly what I got when I was an errand boy for the A&P.
Deal.
Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker, the old A&P gypsy, sings I'll Take You Home Again, Kathleen.
Will feel no pain, and when the fields are fresh and green, I'll take you to your home again, Kathleen, across the ocean wild and wide, where your heart has ever been, since first you were my bonny bride. The roses all have left your cheek. I've watched them fade away and die. Your voice is sad whenever you speak, and tears bedim your loving eyes. Oh, I will take you back, Kathleen. Heart will feel no pain, and when the fields are fresh and green, I'll take you to your home.
Thank you. I use your microphone at once?
Well, I,
Hey, it's an emergency. I just ran all the way from the Bank Tellers Protective Association. I must warn the public at once.
Well, if it's important, is it...
Ladies and gentlemen, the Bank Tellers Protective Association brings you an important warning. The next time you write the date on a check, please remember this. This is now 1941. Do not date your checks 1940. I thank you.
Well, is that all you wanted to say? Gosh, that seems like a trifle for a big piece of gristle like you to be getting out of breath about.
A trifle? Mr. Allen, tomorrow, unless they're warned, thousands of people will absentmindedly date their checks 1940. There will be a deluge of dud checks in every bank.
Well, say, as an expert on duds and banks, you'll be interested in meeting an expert on duds and tanks. Now, let me present James Wallington, M.D., Master of Duds. There are duds and tanks, aren't there, Jimmy?
Yes, and in carburetors, too. For despite all the gasoline in your tank, when you step on the starter these cold mornings, you're dependent on just the few chilled ounces of gasoline in your carburetor. And that's where duds, those sluggish, slow-action elements in gasoline, can really hold up your starting, weaken your battery. Duds simply won't vaporize instantly, won't take the spark fast. That's why the duds are removed by a special Texaco refining process. They're out, all out, of Texaco Fire Chief. Yes, Fire Chief is all action. Takes hold quickly, fires evenly. Your engine picks up, warms up fast, to full power. Next time, try a Texaco dealer and famous Fire Chief at regular gasoline prices. Remember, there's not a dud in a tank full.
Now, the Texaco Workshop players start their 1941 season with a burlesque of one of radio's most popular programs, The Quiz Kids. Music, maestro.
As their theme song fades, we bring to a close another 5 minutes of dance music played by Anatole Feinschreiber and his Aristocrats of Corn. Anatole Feinschreiber and his Aristocrats may be heard again over the same station, but we doubt it.
This is station KRUM. We regret to announce that the correct time, which was to be heard at this time, will not be heard at this time. Instead, the correct time, which was to be heard at 10 o'clock, will be heard at this time. Stand by for this substitute correct time announcement.
When you hear this correct time signal at 10 o'clock, the correct time at that time will be exactly 10 o'clock. Thank you.
And now, station KRUM presents... The Quiz Nippers.
And here he is, their genial sophisticate, the custodian of our super-intelligent group of child prodigies, Kerry Jelly.
Well, good evening, folks. Good evening, folks. Sitting in front of me in their little high chairs here in the studio are the original Quiz Nippers, four outstanding children who have been selected at random from the city's kindergartens. Now, before we start, I know you want to meet our junior brain trust. And first, from the Effie Eggleston Day Nursery, the tiny John Kieran, five-year-old Elmer Prentice. Say hello, Elmer.
Whoa.
Elmer, is that the way we greet our radio friends?
Oh, yeah. How do you do, members of my unseen audience? I trust we meet on a mensual plane.
That's better.
Yes.
You think you've been up a little late tonight, Elmer. You look pale and haggard. That was little Elmer Prentice, folks. Now here's our second quiz nipper. The sage of the Lydia Pinkham Junior Grammar School, Lilliputian Millicent Goon.
The fall of Babylon occurred in 23 B.C.
Not now, Millie.
Witchcraft had its heyday in the Middle Ages.
Well, thank you, dear.
The law of gravity was discovered by Sir Isaac Newton.
If you just...
Something fell on his head.
Yes, and something is going to fall on your head, honey. If you don't shut that tiny little oboe trap.
No, shoot.
Here, what did you say? You bad girl. And here is our Pee-wee music critic, Deems Taylor on the hoof, or the half shell. He's little Marvin Clare.
Good evening, symphony lovers.
You seem to have a head cold, Marvin.
Yes, it was caused by the draft from Toscanini's Baton. I must wear my windbreaker at his next concert.
Yes, bundle up well. Get some burlap under your little windbreaker. And now that brilliant little star of our program, Tiny Rollo. Say, Rollo's high chair is empty. Where is Rollo?
Gee, I don't know.
Say, isn't this the night Rollo lectures at Columbia?
No, that's Tuesday.
I saw him at lunch with Einstein.
Maybe Rollo's on information for you tonight.
No, no, that's Friday night. I just left Golan Paul. Say, this is terrible.
Oh, cheese it, Mr. Jelly. Here comes Mr. Crovney, our sponsor.
I'll see here, Jelly. Where is that other quiz nipper?
Rollo is missing, Mr. Krovnik.
Missing? You know very well Rollo Keene is the star of this diaper forum.
Yes,
you just talked me into signing that kid for the entire season.
Well, we can give a show without him.
Ah, the Quiz Nippers without Rollo is like the Rochester program without Phil Harris.
We're on the air, Mr. Krovnik.
And you'd better start what's left of the program. I'll go out and look for Rollo.
Yes, sir.
And if I don't find him, Jelly, tomorrow you'll be back calling all men to Barney's. Goodbye.
Well, that's an unrehearsed program for you folks. Well, I guess we'd better get going with our quiz. Are we ready, Nippers?
Yes, Mr. Jelly.
All right. Now, until Rollo gets here, we'd better try some easy questions. And our first question, kiddies, comes from Merton Merton of Woebegone, Oregon. And the question is, can you complete the following quotation? A stitch in time saves what?
An appendix patient?
No, Marvin.
Has it any geometrical significance, Mr. Jelly?
No, Elmer. Well, this question is really too childish for your super minds, kiddies. I think I really ought to give you a hint. It's really so simple. The answer, let me say, is a number.
Is the number 7?
No. A stitch in time does not save 7, Millicent.
You said it was a number.
Yes, but the number we want is not 7.
It is near 7?
Yes. The number is between 7 and 10. It is not 8.
It is 9?
9 is correct, Marvin. Oh, you little wonder kitty. Amazing little shavers, aren't they, folks? Now, attention, kiddies. This next sticker comes from Mrs. Higgamus Hoggamus of Gopher Hole, Montana. Mrs. Hoggamus wants you to name 4 pairs of famous lovers mentioned in history. You have your hand up, Millicent.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yes, that's 1. Marvin.
Antony and Cleopatra.
2. Elmer.
You and the sponsor's wife.
Quiet.
I saw you behind the water cooler.
Quiet.
You weren't hugging a Dixie cup.
Witty little runt, isn't he? Well, we lose our first question, and that sends $2 to Mrs. Higgamus Hoggamus.
Oh, golly.
Yes, we're not doing so well, kiddies. If Mr. Jelly pays out much more money tonight, he won't have enough money left to buy our ice cream soda.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I bet if Rollo was here, we wouldn't be missing these questions.
Well, don't mention Rollo's name to me. I wonder where that little rat is.
Look, Mr. Jelly, here's Mr. Krovnik.
And Rollo's with him.
Rollo?
Mr. Krovnik, thank heavens you found Rollo.
Yes, I found him, Jelly, but a fat lot of good he is to us now.
You mean something's wrong with the world's smartest sprat?
You'll see what's wrong in a minute. Come over here, Rollo. Say something.
Hello, Mr. Jelly. I'm sorry.
I'm late.
Dad, what was that? A mixed duet?
Mixed duet, my foot. Rollo's voice is changing.
Yeah, I start talking soprano and I wind up...
Talking bass. It's mortifying.
This is an adolescent crisis, Mr. Krovnik.
You should have foreseen this, Jelly. But no, Rollo was our biggest attraction. I had to sign him for the entire season. What good is this brat's contract now?
Oh, yeah? Try and bust my contract. You'll see how good it is.
I'll get Leibowitz. That's what I'll do.
Gad, the kid's a cad. He's got us with his voice down.
Jelly, if you don't get this kid's voice back up in his nose until his contract runs out, I'm firing you and the whole show as of now.
Say, I've got an idea, Mr. Krovnik. The power of suggestion.
The power of...
Suggestion?
Yes, Rollo, for my sake, for your sake, for the sake of the whole program, concentrate.
Concentrate?
Yes.
On what?
On childish things. Now, if you think young, you'll talk young, Rollo. Think of a yo-yo.
A yo-yo, yes, sir, a yo-yo.
Think of a top.
A top, yes, sir, a top.
Wonderful.
You think this yogi stuff will do the trick, Jelly?
What's it got to, Mr. Krovnik? I've got a movie magazine here. Now, I want you to look at these movie kiddies pictures, Rollo.
Yes, Mr. Jelly.
Look, oh, look, here's Baby Sandy.
Oh, boy, Baby Sandy.
Here's little Shirley Temple.
Oh, little Shirley Temple.
And here's wee Mickey Rooney.
Wahoo! Mickey Rooney!
Congratulations, Jelly. Rollo's voice is up again. You saved the show.
Yes, Mr. Krovnik. Just one more movie star's picture, Rollo, and you're cured.
Yeah, Mr. Jelly, turn the page.
All right, Rollo.
Gad, his voice. What picture is he looking at?
Hedy Lamarr.
Hedy Lamarr? Well, I'll beat.
For heaven's sakes, Rollo, stop looking at that picture.
It's too late, Mr. Jelly. Today I am a man.
And now, Larry Elliott's thought for 1941.
When you change the license plates on your car this year, put on your new ones for 1941, here's something worth thinking about. If you're an average motorist, your mileage for the coming year will total about 8,500 miles. But note this fact. The average motorist today, compared to the average motorist in 1920, travels 4,250 miles each year for nothing, as far as the cost of gasoline is concerned, because the price of gasoline minus taxes has come down 50% since 1920. Yes, gasoline is cheap, but that's not all. For the petroleum industry has seen to it that you also get better products as well as more for your money.
Thank you, Larry. This is Fred Allen, ladies and gentlemen, saying good night for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Good night.